This is Parker Pathways. Dr. Wynn Parker, this is a live show, June 24th, 2007. And we're on air at republicbroadcasting.org. And you can go the short wave. We can go KU satellite. We can be on in all kinds of directions for new audiences, that the one I've heard about in Connecticut. And thank you, Connecticut, and the other listeners that are going to have a need today for something to write with on a pad, because particularly when we get into the second hour, the first hour, absolutely, there'll be a little note-taking that you may have to do. And we're going to mesh in a few dots of information that have been generated from other shows, of which answering questions and putting forth information that other talk show hosts just refuse to put on air, particularly with Congress's interest in taking talk show radio stations and putting them out of business, according to Congress. And I think President Clinton's even got a private organization where they want to put $20 million in to get rid of talk show stations. And as an appendum to this, we're going to have a guest on this first hour, which I'm going to introduce after the first few minutes of our intro into Parker Pathways. Nader El-Gundy, who wrote the book My Decision to Live, a Pearl Harbor person in the Navy that had an accident and revived himself, and he's got one of the best books on inspirational reasons for living that I've read in a long time. And one of the things that I want to mention about the governor of Texas, who's let the Security Prosperity Partnership Act and activities through to make sure that Texas has their Texas Highway. This is not an idle comment. You know how we do on Parker Pathways. If you're not into the first 3 minutes and get that information to set it up, there's always some blockbuster surprise, and that's the point. And behind the scenes, you might say for the Beltway people, they're discussing this is all serious business about Connect Canada developing the trade agreement for the Texas Highway. And the real decision here is to have the United States to have an inner trade agreement with one-fifth of the water supply that comprises one of the largest water supplies in the world, and have that from Canada coming into the United States so that it comes under the treaty, under the SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership Act. Canada has their trade agreement, which they're working behind the scenes to make sure that this highway happens, so that the next war will be about water, which I've talked about on many shows, and even explained what the Situation Room looked like, what the plans are, and for the next war over water. Now, the United States is to get part of this water system for profit and control, and also the highway is to have, as I've mentioned many times, their own healthcare system, their own money, the eminent domain system that goes with it. So the next 2 hours, integrated with the interview we're going to have this morning, we're going to connect some dots, you know, the real dots on this issue. We'll see you after the break, and we'll introduce our guest, and we'll get down to what's called issues.
Okay. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
On a live show, June 24, 2007. The call-in number on the air, coming in from satellite or iPods or other groups that have developed the shortwave. And we're going to discuss this in the second hour about the shortwave issue. It's 800. The number is 800-313-9443. This is a sidebar, which won't take anything from our time with whom I call affectionately Nader. That's going to be our guest. But right, one of the things that I wanted to mention as breaking news by news people who just wait until about 1 o'clock in the morning in all the time zones in the world. The gentleman who was responsible in Iraq for killing 180,000 Kurds has been given the death sentence. And one just quick point that I want to make about this, I realize that we've had a couple of years of people talking about the world of mass destruction, instrumentations weren't found, and all the rest of it. There are a lot of things that one can talk about this, but you have it. The public just hasn't been exposed to Dr. Anthrax, a nice little lady, not too tall, educated in America, went over there to Iraq, and develop things that you just don't want to know about. But I'm going to talk about some of those things in the second hour, because they interrelate as a thread to something that's going to be coming up in the first hour. But he got his death sentence, and also a little sidebar, too, about all the weapons that are being pulled out of these attacks going on in Iraq right now. Have Iranian numbers on them, the symbol of the echoes, the echo symbol on the Iranian weapons, the new mines that are being developed to do what are called triple blasts, and also the latest incendiaries that are being stored in schools and in homes of people in Iraq. And the person who's responsible for that is on the run. That's all I'll tell you about that. Now, the tie-in with this, though, is that the mentality for war and death and destruction sometimes misses the point in the public eye. And this is what I think is happening. We are at war ideologically, and we are at war physically in real-world terms. And there are many heroes on this menu. And one of them is with us today. Nader, are you online? Are you online? Nader? El Gundy? Nader El Gundy is our guest.
And hello, Dr. Parker. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello. How are you? How are you, Nader?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. I'm glad to have you back. I wanted to make sure that you were on the Parker Pathway show, because your time schedule and ours on Memorial Day were on a rush, and we had you on for only 15, I think it was 18 minutes total in terms of conversation time and giving your presentation. We received within that period of time about 200 emails I received on that, just in that 18 minutes.
Wow.
And so I wanted to, because I was, we were getting into other areas that are very, very important concerning your life and thinking. And you've already been told that by me that you're on safe ground, no minefields here. We want to really find out what's going on from somebody who has achieved real world thinking, I call it. And Nader El Gundy is, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Am I doing all right with your name?
You're pronouncing it perfectly, Dr. Parker.
Thank you. His bio is that I call him Nader affectionately, is an expert on leadership and motivation. As a U.S. Navy submarine officer, Nader had a horrific accident, and that was in Pearl Harbor, severed both his legs, and caused him to permanently lose his right foot. And he overcame the accident and went on to become the first nuclear submarine officer to complete his qualifications with a prosthetic leg. For those of you uninitiated, this is called a dolphin, and us folks who have been in the Navy know what that means. And that's about as far as you go, just, you know, in terms of real guts, because it's not fun living in a submarine unless you're mentally ready for it in the first place, let alone have a prosthetic leg. And after the Navy, Nader became a tireless entrepreneur, and he built a consulting firm called Cytocor, and he acquired clients such as Hendrick Automotive Group, Duke Energy, BSN Medical, and then following the bubble burst in 2000 in the computer industry, he developed the reorganization of Cytocor and got into government contracting. Today, he's the president of his high-growth company and is now serving the Department of the Navy, as well as other federal clients through his business. And here, in part of Nader's bio, is something that to me is extraordinary, is a peer volunteer at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. So we want to explore the thinking that goes into seeing and developing and putting this fine person out there in terms of his motivational presentation. What our questions are going to be like are such as what motivates, what is in this gentleman's head that we need to learn. And by the way, for all of you corporate people that are listening to Parker Pathways, you can go to www.enader.com and get his schedule for his motivational discussions. And of course, he'll take care of from there, taking care of where he can be reached. But I want to make sure that that gets on the table. Now, that was a long presentation and thing, but you realize we're going to cover a lot of ground today. Welcome to Parker Pathways, and you have the floor.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Parker. That was a very generous introduction. I appreciate the time on your show.
I'm glad to be here. I want to, with you, you've written a book called My Decision to Live, and that is a very important point, who lives and who dies, and I always thought it was always in somebody's head. But let me, how did you get to write the book? What was your motivation to write this book, My Decision to Live? How did you get to that point?
That's a great question. I'm very fortunately blessed that I had a dramatic series of events in my life. You mentioned a horrific accident. Well, after I was leaving my boat in Pearl Harbor, working a double shift late at night, I was very fortunate to live in that accident, literally. And more importantly, for me, there was a decision. You know, when you're faced with something traumatic, physically traumatic like that, or frankly any adversity in life, you face a choice to respond or to just simply, collapse under the pressure. And I chose to not only live, but to have my life back. And back then, I was in the hospital bed lying in my back, and the doctors knew I was going to live. My vital signs had finally stabilized, and I said, hey, look, I want to go back to submarines. I want to go back to service for my country. I wasn't done living. I don't want my life to end just because I'd been in this accident. And that was a significant decision in my life. That's how the title of the book comes, My Decision to Live, because I believe each of us every day make that decision, a mental decision to respond, to fight back in spite of adversities that happen to us.
Mm-hmm. What you're discussing in terms of making that decision to want to go back to your command, the fact that you knew that you were injured, according to your description in your book, and the way you thought about that, what intrigues me is the fact that you made that decision, knowing very well, being in the Navy, that not everyone goes back on duty with a prosthetic, you know?
Absolutely, Dr. Parker, and actually, even more dramatically than that, I had friends, shipmates that was in the Navy with me. They developed something as small as a heart murmur, and the Navy would not let them stay in simply because of the medical risk of having that person with a heart murmur going out to sea without medical care for months at a time under the water. So I knew that the odds were very long, but my life had been littered with adversities, and I'd responded back in the past, and I believe inherently in nature, inherently in mentally in us, that if we don't give ourselves a chance, if we don't try, no one will certainly give us a chance for us, and so we must always fight for what we believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that that is a very important statement. Is the way I'm interpreting this is for another reason. You know, we spend a lot of time in our life being bombarded with religion. Nothing wrong with religion. I know in the military everyone had to pray every day. Nothing wrong with praying. When we were in the battlefield, we prayed before we went out. It was always like that. But I always felt, because I was responsible when I was in the military, as part of my duties, with the prayer box. Have you heard of the prayer box?
I have not, Dr. Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, the prayer boxes in the medical arena this is a box that in the Navy, this is it was used in the Second World War, and some people revived it in such a way that in this box was all the accoutrements for each religion. And you did the last rites, and in the field, if you couldn't bring the person in.
Wow.
And this is why your book has interested me, because there were many times that I felt that this book should have been written years ago by somebody that had been through it. And we're going to come back on the other end of the break, and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer and some of your decisions.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
And this live show, June 24th, 2007. We have as our guest Nader El-Gundy, who has written a book called My Decision to Live. In the back of your book, you have five functional balances. And I wondered if you could explain to the audience about these balances that you've come up with.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I kind of learned through my adversities early in my life, and certainly through the traumatic accident that I suffered and recovered from, that you know, nothing is one-sided. Every decision we have, every choice we make, has a a causality, a equal reaction or effect to our choice.
Yeah, the metaphysical principle of cause and effect. Yeah.
Absolutely, and so. As individuals, I believe in a rounded life as much as possible in a balance in order to be able to kind of, you got to have equal balance on a ship in order to be able to sail the ocean, and similar to the body, you must be able to balance that. And so I talk about these five balances, spirituality, professional, physical, personal, and then the mental aspect, and that we must achieve these balances. And for me, the first part of the spiritual aspect of realizing that there's more to the world than just us or just the soil beyond the feet, that there is a greater purpose. Certainly, in my personal belief, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe very religiously in my purpose and where I fit in the world, and I think everyone has their individual practice that kind of speaks to them, but knowing that there is a greater being, there's a God that controls, that overlooks us. And then for us as individuals, physically, you know, we must be able to be physically be fit regardless of our condition. I remember being in the hospital bed for the longest time. All I could do was move between the bed and a wheelchair, and it's difficult to conceive physical fitness at that level. But what the trainers at the hospital taught me is that even the smallest movements of exertion just to keep the body from atrophying were very important. I would do the simplest thing, like work with rubber bands to simply move my arms so my joints would be would gain strength and would get exercise. I do things like simply moving my knees, just bending my knees, just to keep the movements, keep some muscle development there. Otherwise, if we stagnate, we simply just atrophy and our body just deteriorates. And if we don't maintain a level of physical condition that we can, that we're able to, then our body becomes a hindrance instead of being a good tool or a good tool for us to be able to do what we want to do.
There's what amazes me is what you've done in that, for instance, on the physical, is taken the ancient concept of yoga and isometric exercise and placed them in your head. That's what intrigued me about it, because I've been there too, not as bad as you, but I mean, I've been in that spot. And what you just said about keeping the muscles moving requires a different internal strength than people really believe. That's my private view. I mean, and I think you've brought this out. And we're going to get back to this. We're going to talk a lot about this in this interview. But the other thing about the spiritual aspect, this is another private view now. I mean, is that when people say, well, they believe in God, and there's nothing wrong with believing in God. I'm being asked that question all the time, and I'm going to give on air and to you what my version of that is. But the whole thing is, I've always felt that people didn't know what they were saying. Do you understand what I'm saying about what I'm trying to get to here? I mean, you're absolutely correct that there's something bigger than us.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is, you're talking about the unique aspect of faith and believing in something that you cannot tangibly put your arms around or grasp or hold or visualize. And it is a challenging thing. And sometimes in the course of structured religion, we go through the motions and don't necessarily understand the fundamentals of the faith. And it's a difficult thing, and I think it's a unique and individual path for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, what astounds me, and I recognized a lot of aspects of this, but I was very impressed with your book for another reason, is that one statement that you just made, like everybody has their own path, that's my point, that what I feel in America today, that a lot of people have become apathetic, even though they help people. For instance, you see on people that have been this recent story about the policeman who killed his wife, apparently or allegedly, his wife and the baby, and that's alleged. But that's just a last 48-hour breaking story. But the point is, everybody helped. Everybody's into giving sympathy and working things through, and then after it's all found and the thing, everybody folds their table and goes back home. When people ask me, do I believe in God or anything, and I say yes, but I tell them the truth, and sometimes they they can't handle on that one, it's what I see under the microscope. In other words, man couldn't have made that, what I'm looking at under the microscope.
Absolutely.
You see? Red cells, bone marrow, the rest of it. We're going to come back at the other end of the break. and start on being able to have a little more time here, and we're going to get into these five principles that you pulled together. We'll see you at the other end of the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Parker Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker, and this is a live show, June 24th, 2007, with our guest, Nader Elgundy, who has written a book, My Decision to Live. And one of the questions that I have that's interrelated to your five principles is, as a peer reviewer, as a citizen peer reviewer at Walter Reed Hospital, what are your impressions from your perspective as a motivator and a person who's looked up to? What are your impressions when you walk into the wards as to what you see and how you feel about the decision to live and the folks that are in there? I know that's a broad question, but you know what I mean. I mean, in other words, you walk in those wards. What are you thinking, a person like yourself?
You know, there's a lot of different levels to that question. You know, first, on the first level, the reason I do it is I think inherently as human beings, we are beings of service and we need to kind of give back. I think we're part of the greater fabric and web of the world, and giving back, creates a life for us. And I I think is important, and certainly that's part of my calling, and I feel like I'm very blessed and fortunate for being taken care of by our military, so I try to do and contribute back and volunteer where I can. The second thing is the most important job for us as peer volunteers, being those people who are amputees who have successfully recovered and integrated back into life, is to be a listener. It's really ironic because most people think that we go up there and we tell them that this is all the things you can accomplish, all the things you can do, but it's quite contrary to that. It's exactly the opposite, actually, because you don't really know what someone's state of mind is at that exact moment after their injury. Are they still in anguish or in denial? Or are they grieving? Or are they in acceptance stage? It really depends on what stage of acceptance they are to what type of information they're ready to receive. And so you really need to lean upon them to guide the direction of what they want to hear. And so the most important thing is for us to listen. Being there and come in as an amputee, and I usually walk in there with my shorts on, so it's quite apparent who I am. I state who I am, and I just ask them questions about what they're going through and what they've been, and I find that these individuals open up and they really share experiences that they can't share with their family or with the medical staff because they haven't gone through what these guys are going through right now. And for me, it's very moving because you mentioned kind of, you know, the choice of to live, and you see the abundance of willpower and energy in these individuals despite their terrible physical state. And it's quite humbling to see that these guys have been there in the throes of death and fighting on the ground and grounds in Iraq and Afghanistan, and these guys have lived despite their injuries, and now they're trying to put their life back together and put things back together. And it's just, it's awe-inspiring to see that willpower and the positive energy and often the positive attitude that these guys come from and that they share. And it reminds me of how far I've personally come. It's a good reminder and reset of just how appreciative I am of what I have today, to know that I have come a long way and I should be grateful for what I have, because every one of us needs motivation every single day. And I think it's an important part because life is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, life is hard. And you do need to be motivated each day. And to work things through, and I want to get to that in a few minutes here, because that statement you just made is a crux of being motivated each day. This is the point. That's what attracted me, as I said earlier in the interview here, is that we have a lot of issues that we deal with in America, just living from day to day. But also we have another issue now. It's like in the great Chinese dynasties when they decided to build the Chinese Wall. They didn't do that out of just a whim. They were being invaded by the Mongols, and they built that wall. And that was their psychological reasoning for solving their problem. However, that's what I think is happening in ourselves. I'm going to ask you to comment on this in just a minute, because I'm leading up to something about mental health of the U.S. veterans. I was looking over the walls that have been built psychologically. I have the only source that I could come up with was a Bringing the War Back Home source. It's from the Archives of Internal Medicine. And it's talking, and the figures are from September 30th to 2001 to September 30th, 2005. And it's a total number who visited the veterans' hospitals and healthcare facilities at that time for mental health was 103,788. And 75% were diagnosed with mental problems, and 25% were diagnosed with two types of mental problems. One was post-traumatic stress, which we're familiar with as being military people. That was 13,205 people. Anxiety disorders were 6,767. Adjustment disorders were 5,936. And depression was 5,405. And substance abuse was 4,878. And then under the category of other is 12,447. Now, this is coming out of the 103,788 veterans that came into that time period of those 4 years. By accident, I was doing some health and human services data to try to retrieve to get ready for this interview, and I was shocked to see that close to the same percentage occurred in the civilian population. In other words, the numbers of mental health people running is about 64% rather than 75% for the veterans, and 30% of double diagnosis of mental health in civilian population versus 25% in the veteran population. And I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute. If you here is a person that's going out to the corporations and discussing motivation, and which is absolutely vital, and I was thinking, how do you approach the civilian population similar to the Walter Reed population in terms of your own psyche?
That's a fascinating question, Dr. Parker. On one level, I'm kind of surprised by your statistics because, I know inherently the physical and mental talents of the military, and, I could certainly reason with the fact that because of that mental and physical strain that we go through in the military, that we're going to draw out more of the psyche challenges in the mind. But at the same time, our military is simply a cross-cut section of our own society. Our own
exactly,
country.
Yeah. And in civilian life, we're walking around in our head. This is just my theory. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. That's not my field. I'm, in other fields of medical science. But the thing is that we're walking around with our own movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, the other thing is everything's relative, I was walking around my house the other day, and I hit my shin on this chair we have in the living room, and it hurt. Might not seem like rocket science, but, for a guy who been to a horrific accident and carries a prosthetic leg, and I feel I've been through a fair share of physical pain, that pain still hurt at the moment because relative to my state at that time, I was just kind of uncomfortable in the day. I bumped my shin, and it really hurt. And I think it's the same in society is, we can feel pressures. The perceived pressure can feel extremely great, and at the kind of mental level or whatever the psyche your mind wants to process relative to that moment, and it feels like the world is ending, but, to somebody who is, in a war and shooting to save his life and trying to defend his own life, it's a very different relative state, and so that same issue may seem dwarfed, but the mind still thinks it's a huge thing.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned this in your book. I think you talk about that in your book.
I do, and I talk about the fact that the mental aspect of our mind is what we've got to be able to conquer, and it's so important in whatever position you have to fight. I think the mind and the body naturally want to go to the path of lowest resistance. I mean, I have a natural gravitation to get up in the morning, go sit on my couch, and watch TV because it's the path of least resistance. But we got to mentally say, hey, look, this is what I need to do to accomplish what I want. That's also the importance I talk about in my book, and I kind of speak in my book about setting goals and continue to focus on those goals so you have something that you're achieving. Goals are mental stimulants. They give your mind something to focus on beyond the context of an existing day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to conquer that mental aspect and say, all right, look, this is what I need to do to go where I want to go. Because we just naturally want to kind of gravitate downriver, and sometimes we have to paddle upriver to accomplish that thing we want to do, and that's the mental aspect that we've got to be able to conquer.
Yeah, I agree. there are two comments. I mean, I'm not out to share war stories. That's not the reason I'm bringing this up, because this is but I was going over in my own life, being twice as a POW, and I don't remember. Here I'm saying it on air, but it's just you and I talking here, and quite a few people listening, we hope. But I don't remember when I made the decision to live. I remember being a person that was the leader to live, in quote. It was an unusual circumstance, and I can remember when I had my hands tied to a red-hot pole. There were coals underneath to make the rod red hot, and they tied my hands and burned right through my hands. To this day, you can't see those scars. You know, if you look closely, you can see where the new tissue's in, but it never came back the same.
Wow.
And I never broke. It was, I never thought about the decision to live. I thought about killing that Russian bastard. Excuse me.
Sure, certainly.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And now I'm really going to admit something that goes to your book. I actually killed him with my bare hands burned. Yeah, I actually did that. Now, I'm not, I was never to talk about that.
Wow.
But this book, I said to myself, the book you wrote, I said, this is better than reading. This is religion for real, is where I got from. And then I started to think about the decision that you put forth in the book, and I don't remember thinking about that. So that means that inherently I had that decision but didn't know it.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense to you?
It perfectly does, and sometimes it's not a specific instance. It's that inherent reaction of the mind to fight back in spite of adversity to continue to survive. It's a survival instinct in all of us, and it's a very important one. And in your instance, I can only imagine how it was developed and cultivated over time so that you're put in that horrific situation. You were able to respond and defend your life and survive in spite of odds that would otherwise have been diminishing to an average person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason they did it to me was because I was in the medical end, and they felt that if they broke me, they could take the rest of them, you know?
Wow.
You see, because the people followed the medical guy, you know?
Sure.
And that's the way it was. But that's, I wasn't out to tell that, but I was so moved by your book because I thought, well, this is the core for the other question I want to bring in. I'm going to ask it again in a different way. When you go into these corporations, you're talking, you have motivational speaking and work it through. In fact, everyone comments about how good you are with that. And, you know, I looking at these statistics, I'm beginning to think that the saving of our America, not the America that we've known under constitutional law, because you can see it being changed every day, but you may just have the answer to how to save America's thinking. That's where I put you into this book, because that's just my view. I mean, if you go into a corporation, you're talking about a motivational approach. My question to you is, asked another way, what are you thinking to motivate them to do?
First of all, I'm humbled by your compliment. Thank you very much. I mean, it's very kind of you. When I go to corporations, when I'm speaking, the thing that I learned through my experiences and I learned through kind of overcoming my adversity is that each and every one of us, whether we believe it or not, I believe it to be a God-given truth, is that we have this incredible resource within us. And it sounds simple, but it's very true, and that resource is choice. It's that decision that we make. And unfortunately, life is very complex, that there is no simple black and white decision, A or B, you know, beans or broccoli or, you know, chicken or steak. It's not always so cut and dry because there are consequences to every one of our choices. But I believe it to be true that if we make something our first choice, our first priority, our first number one goal, and that we make everything else secondary to that, we will accomplish that, whether as an individual, as a
team,
or as a corporation.
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's that decision to mentally say, that's what we're going to do. And it's every day continuing to reaffirm that, to focus on that, and to make those decisions around that number one priority, that decision, that choice that we make as an individual or a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think is the key right there, because the corporations went along doing Sigma. You've heard of Sigma, team effort and everything. And of course, you have leadership concepts, and everybody works on a team concept. I wouldn't work well in a team because I blew that years ago. You know, I'm too independent, and I'm too much into trying to develop personally, you know, inventions and in medicine and do the rest of it and working on the things that I'm working on. If you look at my bio on RBN, you can see, you know, I fell through the cracks. I do things differently. But at the same time, people want me to be a team leader. And I keep telling them, no, I'm not going to be a team leader. I'm going to do, and what you just said, you set the priority that you want for me to come in and give you that advice. In other words, you go as a consultant to a corporation, which is what you're doing in terms of motivation. They may take your advice. The most of them don't. Not in your case, I'm sure. But it's the idea that they haven't set in their head that one sentence that you just made to set that goal and work everything from that. As simple as that sounds, it's one of the biggest mountains that people have to climb. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
We're coming back on the last 5 minutes of being with our guest, and we're going to talk about a couple other issues in his book and and where to get in contact with you. We'll see you at the end of the break. 800-313-9443. Call it.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Parker Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker, and it's live June 24th, 2007, and we're having in as our guest Nader El Gundy, who has written a book, My Decision to Live, a U.S. Navy officer as a dolphin, and came out at the other end of the line, and came out well. We have just a few minutes, Nader, and there was, they're just, I'm going to have you wrap up and where to get your book and other thoughts that that you want to share. Two comments I want to make. In your book, there was a discussion about your the drugs, the painkillers that you had been taking. And I'm reading a book, and you have one sentence that just says the simple sentence. It says, I was addicted. And when I read that sentence, I said to myself, that is a powerful sentence because many people go through life in the position you were in, never recognizing they're addicted. Are you there? So, to be addicted and to be understood is a very big process. And your comments on concerning where people can get a hold of your book and the rest of it, I'll give to you on the floor. Are you there?
I'm there, Dr. Parker. Thank you very much.
Yeah, did you hear that sentence that I had where you said that you were addicted?
I did.
Yeah, you realize that that's a powerful statement because you had the mentality to recognize you were addicted.
Certainly. I certainly did. And it's
a lot of people go through life figuring they don't know that. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, you certainly got to be able to accept the facts. I mean, that's a big...
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, real quick, the other aspect that the people reading your book are going to be really taken by your trip to the San Diego Zoo and the small boy.
Oh, right, yes, very much.
Yeah. Well, are we in the position here in the last few minutes? I'd like you to say what's on your mind. I know it's an hour goes by quickly.
It certainly does, and I thank you for having me on the show. I do want to say that, you know, the book is really designed to stimulate the mind and kind of challenge ourselves individually on what we can accomplish, just exactly how far we can climb from regardless of how low we go, and with minimal resources just using our mind. And the important thing of it all is that service is part of us all, and that the guys, the troops coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, these guys need our heart, our soul, our mind, and our resources and everything I can. That's why I donated all the proceeds of the book to Yellow Ribbon Fund, yellowribbonfund.org, a wonderful nonprofit that is supporting the guys at Walter Reed and Bethesda Naval Hospital. Just an incredible organization, just one of many that are doing wonderful things for our country.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's where I was trained in medicine at Bethesda.
Wow!
Yeah, that was my training ground, and in those days, and we were all ahead of the curve in terms of that. I got great respect for that, and the Veterans Hospital care, as far as I'm concerned, is unquestionably the highest in the land. I don't care what they say about their Washington panels and the trying to close the hospitals in Chicago and Seattle and the rest of it. A lot of these people that make these decisions, as far as I'm concerned, haven't been there. And anything they can do to help the veterans in these hospitals is a help. But what you're doing is, as far as I'm concerned, is the cornerstone, and I'll rave about you every chance I get.
Thank you very much, Dr. Parker. I appreciate being on your show.
Right. And God bless you. And by the way... Let's keep in touch.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nader.
Thank you.
To the other end of the show and discuss the world.
A message for